seated. Praise the Lord. Are you glad to be in church here today? Yes. Well, it's so good to see everybody. We know that God's got a plan for us today, and it's a good plan. Amen? Amen. I'll tell you what, we're just so blessed. First of all, let me just say again, happy Mother's Day to all of our wonderful mothers. We're just so honored that you'd be here on this day with us. Of course, we want you, all the ladies, of course, 18 and up, before you leave today, get that petunia out there, that petunia. Amen. It'll be a blessing to you, and we just love you. I'm so grateful for my mom, and my wife is just, I'll tell you what, she's the best mother that this earth has ever seen, and I mean it. I'm not just trying to score points while I'm up here. Amen. But I'm just so blessed to have the wife that I have, who's just a fantastic mother. And of course, my mom is also one of my best friends, and we're just so honored to have you. It's great to see you raising kids in the house of the Lord, you know, serving God with all of your heart. It's just such an honor to have you here. Moms, we love you. What this nation needs is more godly mothers raising their kids in the things of the Lord, and also raising your husbands as well. Keeping everybody straight. Mom, we just honor you here today. You are just so important to the plan of God. God loves you. He's got a great plan, and you're just a great big part of it. And so God loves you. Amen. Mothers, happy Mother's Day to you. And of course, for those of you that are visiting, we're just so honored that you're here at Family Church. God's got a great plan for your life. He tells us over there in Jeremiah 29:11, he says, I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans not to harm you, but to prosper you, to give you a hope and a future. God's got a plan for your life. You don't need to think of one yourself, you know. And the way we find that plan is in the Bible. That's where it all starts. And we learn to do these things, and we fall into God's plan for our lives. That's where the best plan. So many times people go to God, they say, this is what I want to do. Lord, help me do this. We should go to God and say, Father, is this your plan? Lord, show me, reveal your plan to me. That is what we want, because God's plan is already blessed. That's where the most joy is. That's where the most provision and help and healing and all these things for you is in God's plan. Amen. And of course, church, whose job is it to make sure that our visiting friends feel warm and welcome? That's our job. Let's go ahead and welcome those that are visiting here today. Just so glad to have you. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Well, turn with me in your Bibles. Go over there to James chapter 2. Today, I am going to begin a series of messages called How to Hear God's Voice in Your Life. Now, many of you, if you've been here for a length of time, you remember a little while back when I, you know, I would preach more series of messages, and, you know, there would be, you know, several weeks in a row. And of course, you know, there was a time there when the Lord kind of led me away from that. And it's just been seeming over the last several weeks, the Lord's been dealing in my heart to go back to start teaching some series of messages. All right, and no, they're not going to be 15 weeks long that I'm aware of. All right, no, it won't take 20 weeks or something like that. But a series of messages that build one upon another to help put these things, you know, into our lives. And so we're getting back to that. I'm excited about it. What we're going to be teaching here today and over the next several weeks is essential and vital to your life. If you want to find God's plan, if you want to walk in the safety of the Lord, you need to understand what we're talking about, because basically we're going to teach you again how to be led by the Spirit of God, right? How to be led by the Spirit of God. The Bible tells us over there in Romans chapter 8 and verse 14, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, or sons and daughters of God, or the children of God, you could say. As many as are led by His Spirit, all right? Not led by circumstances, not led by money, not led by convenience or comfort, but led by His Spirit, those are the family of God. Amen. So that tells us what God's been looking for from the beginning of time. He has been looking for a group of people, a family, not just a group of people, but a family who's willing to be led, who will be submitted to their Heavenly Father and just say, Lord, whatever you say, I'm going to do it. Where you want me to go, I'm going to go. What you want me to do, I'm going to do. It doesn't matter. My comfort and my self-preservation is not first. Your plan and your will is first. And so we need to learn how to do it. You know, we live in a day and a time when there is a catchphrase or a term. There's terminology that's being thrown around, and I hear it all the time. And I'm not even a real technology guy at all. You know, I still believe in like the Pony Express. You know, I'm not a real techie person, but I hear this term all the time, and it's called real time. Have you heard that term, real time? It's used in news broadcasts. It's used in stock market. You know, get a real-time stock quote. Get a real-time news broadcast. Get real-time news alerts on your smartphone or whatever. What that term means, real-time, just means to get data or information in the moment that it's happening. For instance, have you ever seen like a ticker tape? You know, running at the bottom of a news screen. Sometimes it's like stock prices down there. What is that? Those are real-time stock prices. You know, you look and like, oh, that stock is down a dollar, but in the afternoon it's up a dollar. You know, that's real-time, meaning you're getting it moment-to-moment information. News reports now. Remember when you only got the news at 6 and 11? Remember those days? Now, our society demands real-time news. Now there's news happening, and you can get a news flash right on your phone. Goodness, I have to admit, I don't like that stuff. You know, so many times you get some... I'm still trying to figure how to turn it off on my phone. You know, news flash. Oh, well, what's going on here? Something big going on in the world? No, some, you know, picture on Facebook, you know, or something, news flash, so-and-so is wearing some dumb outfit, or, you know. Who cares? Why do these people think we care so much about what they wear? Someone out there must. I don't. But anyway, we get this real-time news, and it's moment-by-moment information as those things are happening. Well, I'll tell you what about real-time leading from God? See, what everyone demands is real-time information. God already invented that thousands of years ago, real-time leading in the spirit of His people. Amen. To hear what to do on the moment, what to do when we need it, how to make, you know, sound decisions when we're facing a big decision in our life. Amen. We need real-time leading. All right, and that's what God wants to do, because there's a lot of things in the Scripture that don't tell you explicitly or exactly what to do in a situation. For example, the Bible does not tell you where to go to church. The Bible does not tell you, you know, what investment to make or who to marry or, you know, any of those, you know, personal situations for you. It does not tell you where to go. It doesn't tell you what house to buy. It doesn't tell you those things. Meaning, I can't look up a verse and say, thus saith the Lord, Tim Stallman, invest in this. You know what I mean? There's nothing like that. And so we have to be personally led by the Holy Spirit in these decisions in our life. And I'll tell you what, we are living in a day and a time where Christians, yeah, they're getting real-time news reports. Yeah, they're getting real-time gossip talk and instant face and all this stuff, but they're not getting real-time leading from the Lord because they don't know how to hear the voice of God in their spirit. We need to know and understand this. So today, what we're going to do is we're going to start a series of messages, you know, start to teach you about the voice of God in your life, how to hear God's voice. And I'll tell you what, He will not steer you wrong. And so many times Christians' lives are in a mess because they did not follow the leading of the Spirit. A lot of times Christians have no idea that they're supposed to be led by the Holy Ghost, right? And also there is a lack of understanding that we have a spirit, that we even have a spirit, or that we are a spirit eternal being. All right, so that's where we're going to begin today. Are you ready? We are going to begin by teaching you about the human spirit. I said the human spirit, not the Holy Spirit, the human spirit. Now, of course, the Holy Spirit will be taught, you know, right along with that. This is something that so many Christians, they have no idea they are a spirit. Do you understand that? Your nature is eternal. See, your flesh is not eternal, but the real you on the inside, you are an eternal being. Every human being will exist forever. It's just a matter of where and how. Do you understand? And you say, what do you mean where and how? Because not every human being goes to the same place when they die. You understand? I say, Pastor, you mean you believe in heaven and hell? Yeah, I believe in heaven and hell. Yeah, I say, well, you believe that hell is real? Yes, because Jesus said it is. Jesus says it is a place of fire and torment. He said it is a place where the worm dies not. All right? Read what Jesus said. Jesus said there is such thing as everlasting punishment and eternal judgment. And so we need to understand that. But I got good news. If hell is real, heaven is real. God didn't make hell for anybody. He made hell for the devil and for his angels. And the only reason a human would ever end up there is because they failed to receive the gift of Jesus Christ while they were here on this earth. All right? And so we don't need to go there. But human beings, because we are eternal beings, we will exist forever. No, your body will not exist forever, but your spirit, the real you, which is your spirit is what gives life to your body, all right, will exist forever. So we're going to talk about the human spirit and also the human spirit and how it relates to your body and how the Holy Spirit communicates to your human spirit. Now, I even have this written down in my notes. The goal for teaching you about the human spirit is to make you spirit conscious, and I have it written down in parentheses, without being weird. Yeah. All right? Oh, because I hear believers. Can I just level with you? And I've said this before, but when I preach, you just get me, and you know I'm not trying to hide anything or whatever. If there's one thing I cannot stand in this life, it is flaky Christians. I can't stand flakiness. Oh, no, I didn't say I can't stand Christians. I said I can't stand flaky Christians. What I mean by that is it's a, oh, hold on, let me check my spirit to see what drive-through I should go through. No, pick the one you like the best. Should I go to Walmart or Wegmans? Let me hear in my spirit. No, go to whatever one you want. You know, I'm not talking about, you know what I mean? You know, Milky Way or Snickers? Milky Way or Snickers? Let's see the hand for Milky Way. Snickers. Oh my goodness! Milky Way is just Snickers without the peanuts. That's all it is. All right, here we go. Reese's Cups or Mallow Cups? Mallow Cups, let's see ya. Oh, you're at Reese's Cups. Yeah, oh my goodness. Justin, you got destroyed. I don't have to check with my spirit. Now, all that to say, if you're in the McDonald's drive-thru and all of a sudden the Spirit of God tells you, hey, don't eat that. There could be something in there. Well, we always know there is something in there. It don't hurt you every time. But if you're in the drive-thru and you're like, okay, here's that Big Mac, and you're like, and the Spirit of God, that has happened to me before. Don't eat that. One time, oh my goodness, we were going out to dinner. Actually, it was with the Hoferts here, and it's their fault. We had dinner plans with the Hoferts, Pastor Brad and Stephanie, and this was a while back, and we were just going over to Applebee's. Me and my wife, we got in the car, we looked at each other, and we're like, what's going on? Like, we both sensed we were picking something up, and we just looked at each other, and I'm not sure who said it first, but we were like, we're not supposed to go. We're not supposed to do this. But of course, we rationalized it away. We said, well, you know, I mean, we're not going to break our word. You know, the Hofers are there. They're waiting for us. You know, we have to, you know, we have to, you know, show up. It's the right thing. And it had nothing to do with them, by the way. You understand? It was something on the inside spoke to both me and Katie and said, just don't go. Just don't go. Like, oh, we rationalize it away like people do, you know. We let our mind or circumstances make the decision for us. So we showed up. We had a dinner. Well, guess what happened to both of us that night? Food poisoning. All right. So if you have a reservation for Applebee's for Mother's Day today, food poisoning, and we're not talking about a few hours of it. It was honestly the most severe case that I've ever experienced in my life, and we were flat on our backs for over 2 days. People had to watch our kids and all this stuff, and we got sick, and we just looked at each other like we should have obeyed God. We should have just obeyed that leading of the Lord. God wants to lead us. He wants to help us. He wants to speak to us in our human spirit because we have a communication device with God. He made you an eternal being like He is an eternal being. All right? So let's talk about the human spirit. When I say the human spirit, I'm not using that term how the world uses it. All right? The world talks about the human spirit like determination. The human spirit is determined. I'm not saying that determination is a bad thing, but that's not what God's talking about. Oh, they had the human spirit succeeded and accomplished, and it was determined to survive or whatever. All right, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the human spirit, meaning the part of you that God designed to be eternal. The part of your nature that will exist forever. All right, and so let's not get flaky about it. Let's not get flaky. Of course, if the Lord tells you, hey, don't eat that Snickers bar, you better get the Milky Way. Stay away from those Mallow cups. You know, get the Reese's. The Mallow cups are always stale because no one buys them. I'm an Almond Joy guy myself. Do we have any other Almond Joy? Oh, yeah. Coconut. Anyhow, praise the Lord. You can go and buy Mom the king-size Almond Joy there. Praise the Lord. You get four pieces instead of two. And you might tell, well, maybe I've had a few too many Almond Joys lately. I've got to lay off and get a few of the pounds off. You're allowed to laugh at that. You're allowed to laugh. All right, so let's talk about the human spirit. Let's talk about, I'm going to give you at least 6 or 7 facts that maybe you know or you don't know about the human spirit. Again, what are you? You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. Oh, I just when I think I can get away from that verse, I got to bring it up real quick. Can you bring up 1 Thessalonians 5:23? Are you aware of your three-part nature? Are you aware that you have three parts, just like God is a three-part being? He's Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We are spirit, soul, and body. Do you understand that? Can you bring that up, 1 Thessalonians 5:23 in the King James? We need to bring that up so we can look at this. We don't take the time to turn there. Praise the Lord. We got it? We need the Jeopardy music right now. There it is. It says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly or completely. And he says, I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So God tells you there's three parts of your nature that Jesus is going to examine upon his return. He's going to have you give an account what you do with your nature. Meaning, what did you do with your body, your soul, and your spirit? So do you see that you are a three-part nature? Okay, let's go in reverse order. And again, this is just by means of review. We know what the body is. Okay, did y'all bring your bodies here to church? We had a couple people raise their hands, so they're really sure. Right? Amen. You brought your body. Your body contacts the physical world. My body tells me that this pulpit is hard. My eyes tell me that these lights are bright, okay? You can be hot, you can be cold. Your body has a voice, and it is the voice of your five senses, right? Sight, hearing, touch, taste, smell. Did I get them all? Did I repeat any? There's only five of them. You'd think I'd be able to remember those, right? But the five senses is what communicates the voice of your flesh. All right, your flesh tells you, I'm hungry. You know, your flesh tells you it's bright or it's warm or it's cold or I can see this, I can hear that, and so on. All right, so the body is easy to understand. Did you bring your body? All right, so you brought your body here to church. You know what that is. That contacts the physical realm. But now soul and spirit, people get confused with soul and spirit. So let me explain to you what the difference between soul and spirit, because there's a lot of people, Christians, that think it's the same thing. It's not the same thing. Why do we know it's not the same thing? One, they're listed apart here. But also, in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, the word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. So the word of God can divide soul and spirit. And if you come back next week, I'm going to teach you the difference, you know, how to divide soul and spirit. But if they can be divided, they're obviously two separate things. And let me explain to you. Your soul, is the Bible word for soul there, can you go, yep, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. The word soul in the original Greek is the Greek word psuche. And I'm not trying to woo you with Greek words here. You can look them up in the same books that I do. I'm not a Greek scholar. But that word psuche is where we get the English word for psychology. It means your mind, your will, your emotions, and your feelings, all right? Your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, and your feelings. Your soul has a voice. It is the voice of your emotions, all right? And you remember Whitney Houston taught us right, when she said, I feel so emotional, baby. And that's actually a true statement, because that is her feelings. That was emotions. And so, see, you're going to go get out your Whitney Houston cassette. No, I don't. That's not a confession. I do not drive around in my vehicle listening to Whitney Houston, just so you know. Dear Lord, I hope she's in heaven. I hope she's in heaven. She believed in the Lord. She had a lot of rough times. I hope she was judged on this earth so that she could be in heaven. Praise the Lord. Let's hope so, right? Okay, but we understand that the voice of the soul is your emotions and your feelings. It is your soul that feels hurt when someone insults you. It is your soul that feels emotional or sad or glad, all right? Now, how many of you know you don't live by your feelings? All right? Think about your body again. Let's go back to the flesh, the body that contacts the physical world. Can your body get you in trouble with God if you let it? Does your flesh always want to obey God? No. So what? You have to, the Bible says you have to crucify your flesh. Galatians 5:24. Crucify the flesh with its lusts and its passions. You know, before I knew Jesus, I was letting my body run wild. Hey, drink this, smoke that, do this, say that, watch this, listen to that. There was no checks. But when I got saved, I brought my body under the crucifixion of Christ. All right, you understand. Now, let's talk about your soul. Oh, be careful here. Because your mind, your will and your emotions, is your mind always thinking in line with God? Have you ever had a bad thought? How many of you are experiencing a bad thought right now? No, no. About me. No, no, no. But you have a bad thought. Why? Because your body, when you get saved, is your body born again? No. If you had brown eyes before you got saved, you have brown eyes after you get saved, right? So we understand, all right? And now the soul, this is what people think, because the scripture does talk about our soul being saved, all right? Now, when it talks about your soul being saved, your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect, your emotions, and so on. But your soul is also where you get your personality from. Your personality. The good part of your soul will be saved. Now, if you have a habit of talking a little rough and all that, and you get to heaven, no, you won't be talking rough anymore. Okay, you should not be talking rough on this earth, but, you know, sometimes we have bad habits or whatever. Your bad habits do not go with you. But you will look like yourself in heaven, and you will act like yourself in heaven. People, Christians get this idea that people in heaven are like these opaque, you know, like apparitions. If we just float around, ooh, ooh. No, 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 no. You will look like yourself, just a lot better version of yourself. Okay? If you got wrinkles, they'll be gone. If you need a few extra bristles on top, you'll get them back. All right? If you need to shed a few LBs like me, you'll shed them in heaven. All right? Not saying you shouldn't try on earth, but you understand. You're going to look like you, just be a whole lot better version of you. Right? Amen. So we understand that. But the soul is what contacts the emotional realm, your feelings. Now, is your soul born again when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? No. Your soul is not born again, meaning it is not filled with God. Meaning you can still have bad thoughts as a Christian. Like I said, we might have a few here right now. And so we understand that if you had stinking thinking before you got saved, you can have stinking thinking after you got saved. Your soul is your feelings. Now, do your feelings, do you always feel like obeying God? Do you feel like tithing? No. I mean, do you feel, of course, you know, our spirit says, yes, I want to. But sometimes we deal with that in our soul. You know, our soul is not born again, but it contacts the emotional feeling. We have to keep that in check. Remember Jesus over there in Matthew 26, right around starting in verse 36 to 41? Remember what Jesus said on the night before he was crucified? He said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. He says, I feel so heavy and depressed, I feel like I could die. He says, but my spirit is willing. The flesh is weak, but my spirit is willing. His flesh and his soul did not want to go to the cross, but he was willing in his spirit. See, we have to know and understand that. Now let's talk about our spirit, the human spirit. This verse is not talking about the Holy Spirit. It's talking about our spirit. Okay? You are an eternal being. You will exist forever, like I said. Your spirit is what contacts the realm of God. Or you could say it this way, your spirit is what communicates with God. Your spirit is born again when you make Jesus your Lord and Savior of your life. You are recreated in your spirit, not your mind, because the Bible says, what do we have to do with the mind? Renew your mind, right? Sounds like Romans 12, 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may know what is a good, acceptable, perfect will of God. You have to renew the mind. The mind does not get saved upon salvation, you understand? But we know the spirit does. And your spirit is where the nature of God lives on the inside of you. Your spirit is where the Holy Ghost lives. And your spirit is where God talks to you. God is not talking to your brain. He's talking to your spirit. Your spirit will have to enlighten the brain, right? But you understand that God's not talking to your body. He's not talking to your mind. But that's where most Christians live. They live in the soulless realm. We're going to talk about that. So you got to be careful. Why do you got to be careful about the voice of the flesh and the voice of the mind? Because they're enemies of God. And I probably won't get to that today, but we are going to get to it in this series. The Bible says that your flesh is hostile towards God. Hostile, mobile, that's from some movie. You know, your mind wants to fight the plan of God. Your flesh wants to fight the plan of God, right? And so how many of you know you can't listen to your flesh? You can't listen to your thoughts. Have you ever had a terrible thought run through your mind that you wouldn't share with anybody? Come on, don't look so holy now. All right, and sometimes those thoughts come from us, but sometimes they come from the devil. The devil will use your soul against you. He will give you a thought and then blame you for having it. And see, I'll tell you what, if you'll learn to renew the mind, and if the devil can't get entrance into your mind, he has no entrance to you. Because he can't get into your born-again spirit if you keep him out. Come on, all right? So we know what the spirit, the soul, and the body. So you can say it this way. We are a spirit. We have an eternal nature that communicates with God. We are a spirit. We have a soul or will and emotions and feelings that tells us, you know, our feelings and so on. And third, we live in a body. So do you get that now? We understand that? Now, let's give you some facts about the human spirit. Why? To make you spirit conscious. Because people are living their life just conscious of their flesh, conscious of their mind, and they're getting destroyed on this earth because they don't know how to hear God's voice. Go with me to James chapter 2. Let's give you number one fact about the human spirit. Remember, I'm talking about the spirit that you have. I'm not just talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about the human spirit. Not talking about man's determination to succeed or it was a human spirit that conquered Mount Everest and all that garbage. Okay, yes, determination can come into play, but we're not talking about the world's definition of the human spirit. We're talking about that eternal part of your nature. Number one, the spirit of man is what keeps your body alive. Where does life come from? If you can answer that and scientifically prove it, you will, you'll be on the cover of every science magazine or whatever, because science cannot understand where life comes from. They can understand, you know, the substances. They can understand, the proteins and the amino acids, and they can try to explain all this stuff. But what gives your body life? Why, because if a human body was just a collection of minerals and substances, then we could just make it ourselves. Because when a body gets old and worn out, how come we can't just fix it and just put those substances back and reignite that life in the body? Human beings can't do that. We can prolong life. We can fix some things for a while. But we cannot explain how a human being has vitality from the inside out. All right? God explains it. And let me show you. Go over to James chapter 2, and we're going to look at verse 26. Fact number one, your human spirit is what's keeping your body alive. Whether a Christian or a sinner. I'm not talking about just Christians now. Even people that don't know Jesus Christ, their human spirit is keeping their body alive. Now, what do we know about the human spirit? Without Christ, it is called spiritually dead. Right? Remember the Bible tells us, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It says, remember when you were once dead in your trespasses and sins? Because of sin, if somebody does not have Christ, they are spiritually dead. But when they accept Jesus Christ, they become spiritually alive. The lights were off, and now they come back on. Aren't you glad? All right? So number one thing we remember about the human spirit is that it keeps your body alive, James 2:26. Watch this. Glory to God. It says this in verse 26. It says, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And faith without works, it just means faith without corresponding action. People have this idea that they can have faith but not live it. He says, that's dead faith. Dead faith doesn't save anybody. I say, oh, I'm a Christian, but I sure don't live like it. Dead faith. That is the standard by which the American church is living today. I've got faith with no works. God says, that's not saving faith. If the power of God and the life of God is on the inside of you by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, it's going to change your life. And if it doesn't, then what good is it? Then why are you wasting your time? If you're going to live like a sinner, if you're going to live like the devil, well, then just why bother? You're wasting your time. But anyhow, that's free, no charge. I'm trying to get to the first half of the verse. As the body without the spirit is dead. So science has been trying for hundreds of years to figure it out. Well, here's the answer. When the spirit leaves the body dies. What does that tell us? That tells us that our spirit is more important than the flesh. That tells us that our body is dependent upon our spirit. That tells us that the flesh is temporary, but the spirit is eternal. So why spend so much time thinking and talking about the flesh when we should be investing in our spirit? All right, that doesn't mean you shouldn't take care of your body, and we'll get to that. All right, because there's a connection between the two. But I wanted to start off, fact number one, your spirit is essential to life. If your spirit leaves your body, the body dies. And so what does that also tells us? There's a connection between the two. The body depends upon spiritual health. Come on now. Life, what's giving life to this body is a spirit from the inside out. All right? And of course it's the Holy Spirit when you're born again, but it begins with the human spirit. This is what you really are. You're not really that body. You are a spirit. Yeah, you're going to look something like that forever, but you're going to look, we're all going to look a whole lot better, right? Once we get into our new body and so on. That's a topic for a different day. But number one, the spirit of man keeps your body alive, okay? Watch this. Now, I'm just going to show you some scriptures, all right? Be ready up there. I'm going to really give you a workout, okay? Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 30. A lot of teaching here today. And I'll tell you what, something just happened to me in the last couple of weeks. I just feel like the teaching switch has just come on for a season again. And so we're going to see it. And it's for a purpose. All right, it's for a purpose. Because people have to get a hold of this. Because there's decisions that are being made in the body of Christ that are not the Spirit of God. And there's people that are going to get hurt because they're just following circumstances. It's going to hurt you. And that's spoken by the Spirit of God. And so you better get a hold of this and learn how to follow the leading of the Lord. Anyhow, a sound heart. The word heart is synonymous with the term spirit. And if you don't believe me, you can look at Romans 2:29. Romans 2:29 says, a believer is one who is one inwardly, in the heart, in their spirit. So the Bible itself likens the heart to the spirit. So you understand, when I synonymously use the word spirit for heart, that's biblical. A sound heart. The word sound means complete. It means in full peace. All right? Resting in God. A sound spirit, the spirit of man, is the life of the flesh. Sounds a lot like what James said. That word life is the Hebrew word for strength, meaning whatever's in your spirit is going to lend strength to your body. All right? So a sound spirit or a whole, complete, you know, undisturbed spirit is the strength of the flesh, but envy is the rottenness of the bones. Envy means there's a relationship problem. Envy means that you look at somebody and you get jealous at what they're doing. Envy and jealousy, which is a breakdown of a relationship, will hurt your human body. Why? Because it vexes the spirit. When your spirit is vexed, now your flesh is going to suffer. Because what happens on the inside will eventually show up on the outside. A sound spirit. So now our goal is to pursue spiritual health. I'm here to help you with that. I'm here to help you. Listen, we need to take it another step around here and be more spiritual. All right, and that doesn't mean, oh, I'm going to be spirit. Ooh. And when you're spiritual, that doesn't mean you go around saying, I feel this. I'm just trying to feel God. You don't feel God. Stop that. Oh, goodness, I hear so many believe, I feel God. I'm not feeling God. I'm believing God. you can, what you do, what that means is you can pick up in your human spirit what God's saying to you. You can feel His presence in your spirit. But people say, I know God is here because I get goosebumps on my flesh. That is not, that's just the air conditioner turning on. People try to think, see, because your flesh is not an indicator of God. Your mind is not an indicator of God. You can only know what God's doing by your spirit, and I'm going to show you that in the Word of God. All right? And so here we see, go over to Proverbs 18:14. Watch this. Are you still with me here today? That's good. We're only got 2.5 hours to go. Glory to God. Hey, mom can wait, all right? This, kidding. Definitely kidding. Kinda. All right? The spirit of a man. Notice it didn't even say the spirit of God. The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity. That means sickness or disease or physical trouble. But a wounded spirit, who can bear? All right? Now, it's talking about the strong spirit of a person can sustain their body when their body is going through physical trouble. Again, do you see the relationship between spirit and body? Whatever's in your spirit, a strong spirit can lend its strength to a body that's going through a physical test. Can you bring this up in the Amplified Bible? I'll show you. The Amplified really knocks it out of the park with this verse in the translation of it. Let's bring that up in the Amplified Bible. It says, the strong spirit of man sustains him in bodily pain or trouble, but a weak or broken spirit, who can raise him up? So notice your spirit can be strong, or your spirit can be weak. Your spirit can be well-fed, or your spirit can be malnourished. If your spirit is malnourished because you're never in the Word, well, guess what? Your body might have a harder time trying to repel something off. All right? If your spirit is weak, it's going to be tougher to deal with the emotions. It's going to be tougher to handle those trials or hurts in this life. But a strong spirit will sustain you. And guess whose job it is to give yourself a strong spirit? It's our job. God does not show up and say, okay, strong spirit for you, one for you, not you, but you, not you, not you, you. He doesn't do that. All right? You can feed your spirit until it is as big as you want. You know what I mean? Until you are fed and strong. The more you know, the more you grow in God's Word, right? And it, notice again the relationship between the human spirit and the human body. Oh, there's some times that they can't even explain why someone died. There are clinical cases that stress and worry kills people. There's no medical explanation. They just know this. It's like somehow that person didn't even die from a condition outside of just, you know, worry or fear or something can take the stress killed them. You know, well, why is that? Their spirit got vexed. Their spirit got so weak it killed the body. See, we got to remember this. The human spirit in the relationship with your body, it keeps your body alive. It is the fuel source for our human body, and it's something that science can't define. Science calls it the subconscious of man. But what they're really meddling there in is that's the human spirit. Psychology and all those, you know, real brilliant university professors, you know, they got so many degrees on the wall. Anyway, but they start to, you know, they say, oh, that's the subconscious. No, the Bible calls that the human spirit. That's the real you underneath that flesh. Amen. Amen. So number one, the spirit of man keeps your body alive. And the relationship between the human body and the human spirit. All right, number two. Go with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'm going to show you something else about your spirit. So you didn't realize this about yourself. God's going to help you. So, oh my goodness, I have this human spirit. You know, I didn't realize that that was me. Well, now we're getting to know this. Here's fact number two. Are you ready? Your human spirit is the purchased possession of God if you're born again. If you're born again. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and let's read verses 19 and 20. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. I love Paul's writing here, of course, by the Holy Ghost. He says, what? Meaning, you don't know this? He says, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you? See, that's why you take care of your body. All right, because it's the temple or the outer shell, and the Holy Ghost lives in your spirit within you. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Verse 20, watch this. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. It's not talking about the Holy Spirit. How many of you have a body? All right, how many of you have a spirit? That's where you are. It says you are to you're to keep your body clean for God, but you're to keep your spirit clean for God. Notice there are sins of the flesh and sins of the spirit. All right, you have to know and understand, you don't just keep your body clean for God, you got to keep your spirit. But notice this, both are God's. They are God's, apostrophe S. And if I remember my grammar, that indicates ownership. God owns your spirit and your body. They are purchased possessions. What price did he pay to get them? The ultimate price, the blood of Jesus Christ, right? And he says, so if you're his, that means your body and your spirit are God's, all right? There's sins of the flesh, sins of the spirit. Let me give you an example. Smoking cigarettes, sin of the flesh, all right? Listen, no, we should not do that. Listen, and if you're in that situation, God's got help for you. I've been there. I smoked cigarettes for 7 years. You know, I remember what it was like to be addicted to that and how hard it was to naturally speaking, to get away from smoking cigarettes. But I'll tell you what, when the Word of God fills your spirit, you'll light up that cigarette and it will make you feel so displeased on the inside, you won't want to touch that stuff anymore. It's a sin of the flesh. Yes, God will judge it. Yes, it's bad. But there are worse sins. Sins of the spirit are worse than sins of the flesh. For instance, sin of the spirit would be lying. Purposely deceiving somebody is a sin of the spirit. All right? Adultery. Ooh, goodness. Adultery is a sin of the spirit, okay, and so on. Now, of course, your flesh is obviously involved, but it will negatively affect your spirit. And so your spirit is the purchase price of God. We are stewards of it. Who is going to take care of your body? You. Who's going to take care of your spirit? You. That's what you're doing here today. God expects you. He says, here's the spirit. It's alive unto God now. Now be a good steward of it. You don't read your Bible to make God love you more. You read your Bible because it's a good diet for your spirit. Your Bible keeps your spirit clean. David said in the book of Psalms, I have hid your word in my heart so that I sin not against you. The reason why Christians are running around sinning is because they're not meditating on the Word of God. That's right. All right. So your body and your spirit have been purchased through the blood of Jesus Christ, and now it's your job to take care of it. See, your spirit will be negatively affected. You sit there and watch garbage movies. I'm telling you what you're doing. You're feeding your spirit the wrong things. You know, of course, your mind and your soulless realm. But I'll tell you what, if you let darkness always into your spirit, you know, that's why it's dangerous to keep lying or to keep committing adultery and things. That stuff will get into your spirit. And whatever gets into your spirit is going to start showing up everywhere else. This is why people fall away from God. This is why they fail to fulfill the race or to run the course that God has for them, because they get darkness. They just surround their lives with darkness into their spirit. They don't feed their spirit the Word of God. Come on now. It is your stewardship to take care of your spirit. All right? Here's the third fact about your human spirit. Are you ready? And see, we're in 1 Corinthians 6:20. Go back up to verse 19. Number three, your spirit is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Of course, now verse 19 says, know not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That means the temple. Your body is the outward shell. On the inside of that is the Spirit of God that dwells or recreated your human spirit. Okay? We understand that. So now it is literally your human spirit is like the seat of God. You remember when Jesus sat down? Remember in the Old Testament how they had the mercy seat on top of the ark? And remember the blood of the lambs were sprinkled on the mercy seat? All right, and it represented literally where Messiah would sit down. All right, well, guess where Messiah sat down? He didn't sit on the golden box. He came and dwells inside your human spirit. Glory to God. Amen. We already quoted the verse, right? 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world, right? Jesus told the disciples all over, I will be in you, right? He abides in me and me in them, right? John 15:5, right? You're the branches, I'm the vine. He that abides in me and me in him will be, bring forth much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing, right? Amen. Glory to God. So it's a dwelling place of the Holy Ghost. Okay. Number four. Are you ready? Go to Romans chapter 8. There's a lot of goodies over here in Romans 8 about your spirit. So your spirit keeps your body alive. It's the purchased possession of God. You are the steward of it. Okay. Three, it is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And number four, are you ready for number four? All right. Your spirit, if you're born again, is alive unto God. Alive unto God. Meaning, you know what that, you could describe it this way. It's like you're a live wire. You know, the power has been turned back on. You are now hooked up to the central fuse box. You know what I mean? You are live unto God. Amen. People that don't know Jesus, they're spiritually dead. They're dead. The lights are off. And we need to change that. We need to get them to accept Christ, live a life for God, so the lights can come back on. Okay? Romans 8 and verse 10. Watch this. Look at Romans 8:10. Praise the Lord. This is going to explain a lot of things for you. And if Christ be where? Okay, 10 of you. If Christ be where? In you. Is Christ in you here today? Yes. If Christ be in you, which the answer is yes to many of us, the body is dead because of sin. We know that. Sin is lurking in our flesh. Do you know that? Do any of you ever have a temptation in your flesh to do something wrong? Yes. Because even though Christ is in you, the flesh is dead because sin entered humanity through Adam and Eve. Killed the human body. That's why our bodies will grow old. We will live long on this earth, right? And our bodies will die. And let's believe that we live long, right? We have Psalm 91, verse 16 says, and he will satisfy you with long life and show you his salvation. Right? Exodus 23, 25, and 26. It says that he will bless your bread and water. He will take sickness from your midst. The full number of your days shall he fulfill. God wants you to live long on this earth, but you're not going to live forever. Okay? The body will die. Your spirit will live forever. But if you're Christ, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now, the King James in Romans 8:10, it capitalizes the word spirit. Okay? And that's not necessarily wrong because obviously the Holy Spirit is involved. But it's talking about the human spirit here. It's talking about the human body with the human spirit that is alive by the Holy Spirit. Of course, we're born again by the Holy Spirit. And so we know that our spirit is life. So do you realize what an interesting creature you are? Think about how unique it is to be a born-again Christian on this earth, because it is the only time in Earth's history where we've seen this kind of being on the earth. A being with God on the inside and death on the outside. Do you understand that that's what you are walking around every day? Life in your spirit through the Holy Ghost, by being born again, but in your flesh, death and sin is lurking at any given time. And the two, flesh and spirit, are constantly at friction with one another. Remember what Paul said over there in Romans chapter 7? He says, my goodness, what kind of man am I? I don't do what I should, and I do what I shouldn't. Have you ever looked at your life and said, my goodness? Have you ever judged yourself and said, what am I doing? What was I thinking? Paul said, what kind of wretched man am I? And that's Paul the apostle. He's saying, I'm tempted to do everything I know I shouldn't, and I don't want to do all the things I know I should. That is what Christian existence is. Meaning on the end, now of course your spirit can grow and be overwhelmed and control the flesh where, you know, your spirit is pushing you to have a desire to be close with God. But if you're wondering why there's this tug of war in your life, it's because there is a battle between flesh and spirit. And you got to grow your spirit big enough until it wins that tug of war. Right? Remember tug of war? Put the big kid in the back. You know? Anchor him down. Remember that? Come on now. You know, the same way, the greater you grow your spirit, the greater you grow your spirit, it'll overwhelm, I should say, or it will grow beyond that flesh. But, I mean, I know I shouldn't do that. Got to go over here. I'm gonna serve God with all my heart. Oh, this is pulling me over here. No. Go back. I got to serve God. You ever had that tug of war in your life? That's because there's life on the inside, death on the outside, and you're a walking spiritual battle wherever you go. Now, I'm saying that might give you a lot of answers. Like, okay, that makes sense why, you know, I'm so tempted, you know, to go back and forth. But remember, it's your job to feed your spirit so you land permanently. The spirit has got to grow to where it has preeminence over your flesh. You got to get your spirit in control over your mind and your body. Come on, this is help. All right. So number four, notice this. Your spirit is alive unto God. There's life on the inside of you. There is connection with the heavenly throne on the inside of you. The live wire, the telegraph machine is open for business. Remember those old wire telegraphs? Come on, you've seen, you know, movies about those old ships or Titanic. Tick, 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 tick. You know, God is communicating. The wire is live again. All right? And let's get ready to finish this up. Number five, your spirit is in the center of your being. Your spirit is not your mind. God's not talking to your brain. God's not talking to your body. God is talking to your spirit that is in the middle of your being. Let me show you this in the scripture. For the sake of time, we'll bring it up. Are you ready? Go to bring up Proverbs 20:27. Proverbs 20:27. Because you know where your flesh is. You know where your brain is. But do you know where your spirit is? The Bible tells you. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. That word candle, in modern language, we could say it this way, the flashlight. It shines light to see. When God shines his light upon you to show you things that you need to discover, he's not shining it in your brain. He's not shining it on your body. He's shining in your spirit. The spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Let's put it in more modern language. The spirit of man is the eye device, you know, the touch screen. All right? God is communicating to the spirit of man. It is the candle of the Lord searching all the inward parts of the belly, the center of man. People will say this. They'll say, I had a gut feeling. I had a gut feeling. I knew I wasn't supposed to do that. I knew there was something else. I knew. See, my wife and I, before we went to that restaurant that night, we had a gut feeling. We knew. And because we surpassed that gut feeling, we got the other gut feeling later. Oh, my. It's not worth it. searching all the inward parts of the belly. Look what Daniel said in Daniel 7, 15. Look at Daniel 7, 15. Daniel described his spirit. His spirit. It's where the Holy Spirit is talking to him. Daniel said, I, Daniel. Now, of course, he was receiving revelation about future events. Big things God was showing him. I'm not saying you're going to get those same visions, but I'm telling you how God showed him. He said, I was grieved in my spirit. Where? In the midst of my body. In the midst of my body. Searching all the inward parts of the belly. See, so many believers, they're like, okay, God, I need to know what to do. Tell me. And they're like this. You know, tell me up here. God's not speaking there. You got to learn to turn this off or to make this quiet. Get down in here and say, Father, I thank you. You're leading me. You're telling me. You're speaking to me. Because your spirit is like the tuning device. It's like the radio receiver of the voice of God. Do you know how many hundreds and thousands of voices are passing through this room right now that we can't hear? Do you know if we had an AM radio and an FM radio and a short sideband radio and a ham radio and cellular signals and, you know, 3G, 4G, LTE, all this stuff, you know, sideband, short band, this band, how many voices are ripping through this room right now? But you don't hear them, even though they are speaking. The reason why you can't hear them is because you don't have a radio tuner. And I always use the illustration with grandma's old transistor radio. Remember the old transistor radios? And then all of a sudden you find a frequency, you get it tuned right, and all of a sudden you're hearing the golden oldies. WKSN, right? Or whatever it is on that old transistor radio. And or your talk radio, whatever, you hear those voices because you have it tuned properly. Your spirit is the same way with God. When it's fed, when you're strong spiritually, you'll be tuned in. And you'll hear what God is saying to you when you weren't hearing it before. All right? So tune your spirit. Because God's talking to you every day. And he's not talking to you in your mind. He's talking down here. I'll tell you what. When there's decisions to be made on the moment, real-time data is streaming from the throne into your spirit. There are so many times the Lord has put the inward witness in my spirit. Don't do that. Some of you remember the story last year, and I won't go into it in great length, but last year my wife and I, we had our 15th wedding anniversary. We had saved and we had planned. We were going to take our first big trip, just the two of us. We love bringing our boys everywhere, but we had a trip planned and we were going to Bermuda. Oh boy, we're going to be on the beach. It's supposed to be beautiful, all this. We've always wanted to go there. Well, once you know it, I mean, just days before we're supposed to leave. Days, not months, days. In my spirit, I knew that I knew. Again, I didn't hear a thunderclap. God didn't say, don't go to Bermuda. You know, it wasn't a voice like that. On the inside, I knew. It was the inward witness. It was a scratching, something telling me, don't go. Don't go. Don't go. Don't go. And you kind of interpret, you know, sometimes it's not words that you just hear. It's just when you put it to words, you know what the Spirit of God is saying. Don't go. And so I went and I asked my wife eventually, you know, of course, who wants to be that guy? Who wants to go tell your wife, yeah, I know we're supposed to be leaving for Bermuda in less than a week. We're not going. But of course, I have a spiritual wife, and it's the same Holy Ghost. And I said, you know, eventually we talk about it, and I said, what would you say if I said to you out loud, we're not going to Bermuda? And she said, I would be greatly relieved. I would be greatly relieved, you know. I mean, your natural senses will tell you, well, vacation, you got to go. Not if there's a check on the inside here. And we're going to talk about more about this specifically as we go. And so guess what? We didn't go to Bermuda. We had literally thousands of dollars that we had placed on that trip. That happened to us one other time before about a trip. Don't go. Don't go. But Lord, we got a down payment. We got this. Don't go. Lord, but I'm supposed to. Don't go. I mean, you have to learn. See, my soul was telling me, go. My flesh was telling me, go, double go, go now. You know, don't listen down there. So it was two against one. But your spirit had better, you better listen and obey the voice of God in your spirit. Don't go. I didn't have revelation. It wasn't like the plane crashed or something. But for whatever reason, we were not supposed to go. So many times, as I look back over the last several years, any time that I have ever dealt with symptoms in my body is because I didn't listen to the voice of my conscience. Is that the Lord would tell me, don't do that, don't go there. And I did anyway, and all of a sudden symptoms started dominating my body. So many times I look back when the Spirit of God was saying, don't do that, hold up. We need to yield to the voice of the Spirit, okay? And of course, this brings us to the last fact for today, and we'll close right here. Number six, it is the communication device. Your human spirit is the communication device for the voice of God in your life, and I've already been talking about that. It is a communication device, not your mind, not your body, your spirit. No, don't get weird. You know, don't get weird. Oh, I heard in my spirit, oh, I'm not supposed to wear these shoes today. You know, well, if the Spirit of God said that to you, do you understand? I'm trying to come up with a good example about not getting weirdo, you know? Because sometimes I'll see flaky Christians and they'll say, you know, and they act like they live life in the spirit. Like, do you know what I mean by that? I don't know if I'm communicating. I need help explaining. But you know what I mean? People that are, they take it to an extreme. Don't get weird, but listen on the inside of your spirit. And how you'll get weird is when you get emotional. People get so emotional about God, and I know the Whitney Houston song is coming back to you. You know? But people get, they think like, my emotions. You know, yes, the Spirit of God can come on somebody. Just look at me and Pastor Brad. We cry all the time around here. Yeah, the Spirit of God can definitely influence your emotions. But I'm just saying, emotions in and of themselves does not equal God. Did you? How emotional did you have to get saved?
Yeah, exactly. Come on.
Some people cry when they get born again. Wonderful. Some people feel just dry as all can be. They say, but I believed it. They're just as saved as the person that cried. So you understand, it's not about the emotional response. Do you understand? And so sometimes Christians will feel like, okay, I got to work up my emotions in order to be spiritual. That's not spiritual. That's actually just the opposite. That's flaky. Oh, my goodness. I'm just imagining what people must think. Well, that's all right, because we're not being led by our emotions. We are led by the Spirit of God. Did you get some help here today? I have to stop right there. I have much, much, much more material than what we got out, but that's what we have next week for. All right? This is a series of messages. We're going to talk about how to divide soul and spirit. We're going to talk about the voice of your spirit. All right? We're going to give you more examples. There are so many stories. I can't wait to get over to Romans chapter 8 again and talk about what happens when someone listens to sense knowledge. Folks, you are not to be led by circumstances. You better know how to follow God, because God does not always lead you to more money. God doesn't always lead you to self-preservation. He does not always lead you to convenience or to comfort. Now, in the long run, He's going to take you to a better place. But that doesn't mean the next step is going to feel easy. And I see Christians all the time, they make decisions out of here. Well, got to do this. That's just, circumstances demand it. Money demands it. Just got to do that. You better be careful. It'll hurt you. It'll hurt you bad. You better know how to develop your spirit. And, of course, we're going to teach you that in the weeks to come. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. We praise you. You are faithful and you are good. Father, you want a family that you can lead. You want us to be spiritual. meaning you want us to hear your voice and do it. Father, you want to lead us in the decisions of life. Father, you want to lead us with anything that's important to us is important to you and vice versa. Lord, you got a good plan. But Lord, we got to know how to hear your voice. And Lord, that begins with knowing and understanding something about the human spirit. Father, we are a spirit being. We have a soul and we live in a body. Lord, we understand that the voice of our flesh and the voice of our mind will try to talk us out of following the voice of God. That's what we have our spirit for. The human spirit is a candle of the Lord searching the inward parts of the belly. Lord, you said over there in Romans 8:16, you said that the Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Father, you lead us, you guide us. And Father, we're going to learn more about it in the weeks to come. And so, Lord, we give you all the praise and all the glory. With all heads bowed, every eye closed, before we dismiss, have you made Jesus the Lord of your life? Earlier in the message, I said that every human spirit, apart from Jesus Christ, is dead. And the Bible says that many places, but one such place is simply what I mentioned over there in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. It says, remember when you were once dead in sins and trespasses, and you followed the course of this world? You followed that spirit of disobedience, it says. The Bible says that every human being is spiritually dead until they make Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, it says that over there in 1 John 5:12. It says, he who has the Son of God has life. But he who has not the Son of God has not life. And so if you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me. I don't have the Son of God. I know on the inside that I'm not born again. I know that I'm not saved. Well, I got good news for you. Today's your day. God loves you. He's not mad at you. He tells you exactly in his word how to get saved. Romans 10:9 says that if you'll confess or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That's that simple. It's not about religion. It's about a sincere decision of faith to trust Christ, to invite him into your heart. And if you're here today and you've never done that, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to bring you down front today. I'm not going to send you off to talk to church leaders in some room or something like that. But right there in your seat, heads bowed, eyes closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, that's me, I know on the inside. I know that I need to invite Jesus in my life. I'm simply going to ask you to lift your hand. When I see your hand, I'll have you put it right back down. And then I will lead this entire congregation in a prayer. Right there in your seat, with all of us praying along with you, you could invite Jesus into your heart. But if that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? I see that hand. I see that hand. God loves you. Is there anyone else? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anybody that has not yet lifted their hand that you know that on the inside you need Jesus as your Lord and Savior? It's not family church idea. You're not signing up for this institution or anything. This is the Bible. God loves you. Is there anybody else before we pray that you just know in your heart that you need to respond? There's something on the inside. Man, I remember when that was me. I remember when the devil had me convinced that if I gave my life to Jesus, that my life wouldn't be fun anymore. Well, I gave my life to Jesus. And you know what? The devil's a liar. Because without Jesus, I was depressed all the time. Without Jesus, I lived an awful life. There was no fun about it. Listen, I've had the most fun as a believer. I've had the best life as a life lived for Christ. So if the devil's lying to you today, say, well, I'm going to give up my whole life. Well, I tell you, what you get in return is so far better. Is there anyone here before we pray? Just want to make sure. Anyone else before we pray? Well, we had several hands, so we're going to pray this prayer. If you lifted your hands, speak these words out of your mouth, from your heart, God will hear you. Don't just think them in your mind. The Bible says that faith requires us to speak. And so let's pray this together. Everyone all together. Everyone say this with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sin. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Did you get some help here today? Let's go ahead, let's stand to our feet. Hey folks, if you're one of the people that received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, we just encourage you, mean business with God. We have a salvation card there in your seat with you. It just says, today I accepted Jesus as my Savior. Put your name on it. Why don't you give it to an usher? You could give it to one of the pastors, me, Pastor Brad. You can give it to my wife. I mean, just somebody. Or if you're not comfortable with doing that, leave it face down on your seat. Just show God that you are not ashamed to make Jesus your Lord and Savior. Amen. And this helps us to do that. Well, we just want to say, mothers, again, we love you. Don't forget to get your petunias. They had to leave me a note. A sticky note telling me what kind of flowers those are because I had no clue. Me, like Pastor Brad says all the time, we just run it over with the lawnmower, right? Praise the Lord. Let's give God all the praise today. Father, we glorify you. Father, we magnify you. Father, we are getting our help. We are going to be led of the Spirit. You've got a good plan for our lives, and we give you all the praise, all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name, and everyone shouted, Amen. You are dismissed.